Good morning. Today is Thursday, March the 14th. Joining us this morning from Humboldt County District Attorney's the Victim Witness Program, Caitlin and Holly. Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Now, see, you said something on air and you haven't passed out or died. Congratulations. We're done. let's see, why do they say that this morning? How did the last course of a meal come to be called dessert? Any ideas?
That's a good
See, these
one.
Aren't really penetrating questions.
Yeah. I don't know. I always struggle between how to spell dessert and how to spell desert, and I always know there's two S's in dessert because you want more desserts.
Did you go to Worthington Elementary
right?
School also?
I didn't.
Oh, okay. That's where I got mine. Yeah, same. Okay. The word comes from the French word desservir, meaning to clear the table. At one time, the cloth was removed before the final sweet was served. Today, of course, we merely remove the crumbs. Ta-da! All right. All right. So if somebody says, what in the world do you two do for a job? What do you say?
Usually I take a deep breath. we help victims and survivors as well as family members navigate through the court process, as well as get them connected with other community resources. We partner a lot with other community agencies. Do you have anything to add, Holly?
Yeah, we also assist. Part of our services are assisting clients with applying for victim compensation benefits. So there is a program in California, the Victim Compensation Program, that assists in reimbursing out-of-pocket expenses related to crimes.
So is any crime is on the table, or are there certain that you folks will work with that are, I don't want to say a higher priority because that's not fair, but I mean, there's always going to be limited resources.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a pecking order, do you get into business fraud as an example, or is it crimes against persons?
Well, we primarily work with violent crime, so not property crime. But victim witness can assist with like court dates or information about the criminal process for any victim of crime. But victim compensation is specifically for violent crimes. And so, I mean, there are some crimes that might not think are violent crimes that would qualify. Stalking, because there's a distance, there's not necessarily a physical interaction between the two parties. And there is arson when there is injury due or if the person is in the home. Criminal threats, which is the threat of violence, but not necessarily violence.
So there's a mental component as well as the physical.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Financial.
Emotional. Certainly. Emotional is part of the services that we account for.
And one of the things that has been intriguing for me, and I kind of play in weird areas sometimes mentally, is if I lost, let's say, the use of one of my arms. Okay, I'm still pretty functional. You know, I may not like it as much, but you know, it's not a career threatening move. But if I'm, let's say, a surgeon, and I lose the game, set, and match. Mm-hmm. So, for that purpose, the use of an arm for one isn't the same value as it is for another. Does the system recognize the distinction between those two individuals? Or is the use of an arm valued at X, and that's what it is, and that's what it is, and if it's, you may get a little bit more than what you should normally, and you might get a little bit less than what you should normally, but that's what that particular event is worth.
There, with victim compensation, a person can apply for and may qualify for what we would call loss of wages. So if your injury equates to a loss in wages, then that's something that they might receive some benefits for. that's obviously something that would need to be proven, you know, and
yeah, just showing up with a stethoscope around your neck isn't going to necessarily cut it. Yeah, yeah, okay.
So there is a process for that, and part of that process is that a victim would apply for disability, and then what disability didn't, you know, cover, there may be some compensation.
So it's process oriented rather than just, hey,
yeah, no flat hear number, my words. Like, yeah, here's an arm and this is how much it's worth, or here's a toe and that's how much that's worth.
Which really
no.
makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That would be the approach. What got you guys into this? I mean, it seems like it must almost be like a calling. Yeah, either you do or you don't. Mm-hmm. I'm one that wouldn't, but obviously you guys are saying, yeah, me.
We have a couple of different roles. We're advocates for different programs. I'll let Caitlin explain what her program is, and she might have a different answer for how she got into it than I got into mine.
So I am currently assigned to CAS, which is the Child Abuse Services Team. And so through that team, we take a team approach to investigate and navigate through the court system crimes against children, or crimes that children were a witness to, such as domestic violence, possibly homicide, things of that nature.
Right, so if a kid's walking by the sidewalk and sees something, they would qualify. It's not that they personally are necessarily subjected.
Yeah, I mean,
to
okay. Yeah, they could end up in our CAST interview. And so that's what I do. And
now, will you work with the parents also if it's not an abuse? Mm-hmm. Kind of a situation or scenario?
Yeah, parents, foster parents.
Grandma, grandpa kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kind of like anyone who can surround and support the child.
Is there a not a minimum age, because that kind of sounds goofy, a threshold point? You know, a six-month-old obviously is not going to be communicative.
Mm-hmm.
A 17-and-a-half-year-old is really almost not even a child anymore.
Right.
What's kind of the age range for the folks that you work with?
I have worked with youth kind of as young as 3 and then all the way up to 18 in the capacity of CAST. So,
but a 3-year-old can give you enough information to be able to
kind of case by case.
Well, totally. Okay. A high achiever, fine. That was another thing I got at Worthington on my report cards. Performing at or below apparent ability. It's 8:19.
We know you love EC Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning. KINS News and Information Time is 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Caitlin and Holly from the Victim Witness Program at the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. Either that or you grabbed a bag from somebody that you know real well. Has the official stamp and the whole nine yards. Oh, so we heard a little bit about Caitlin's area that she gets to play with. Holly?
So me. I guess
he remembered. Oh, no.
I guess the original question is, how did I get into this?
Yeah,
work,
what got you?
Well, I started out as a tribal liaison at the DA's office. It was a pilot program, and it lasted for a couple of years. And then when that grant was up, I was fortunate enough to move over to Victim Witness, and I work under a grant that specifically serves the tribal community.
Hmm.
So it's a grant that serves underserved communities in Humboldt County that's been identified as a tribal community. So
served community, that sounds like it's a
underserved.
Under, sounds like it's a technical definition or something along those lines.
You know how funding is.
It's okay.
Yeah. It's
so it means something up the pipeline somewhere.
It does.
Okay.
For us, it means that I do outreach and work primarily with the tribal communities that have been identified in Humboldt County as Orleans, Switchback, Hoopa, Willow Creek, Blue Lake, Trinidad, and Lolita.
So it's the towns, not the tribes?
Well, it's the areas, and so tribal communities. And then I also work with clients, victims, that either the victim or the perpetrator are tribal. So I get a good cross-section of the county.
Both sides of the table on that one, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do. And so those are the communities that I work with primarily. And I am fortunate that I get to go out into the communities.
Behind a desk is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes,
okay.
I know. Yeah. It is exciting, especially considering the roads and weather at times. But so I go out to Orleans one Thursday a month, and Hoopa one Thursday, and Witchwreck one Thursday.
So what are we screwing up for you on this Thursday? Or is this your off Thursday?
I'll go out after this.
Oh, okay.
No, my fourth Thursday of the month is my off Thursday. But I do that.
Is there a difference between the challenges that the various tribes have?
Well, there's always a variance in resources. But luckily here in Humboldt County, we're really good about co-advocating. And our tribes, there's a lot of intermarriage between tribes. So a person can be living in Hoopa but qualify for services from one of the other tribal organizations. And then we have some really awesome sort of multi-tribal programs like Two Feathers, Native American Family Services. They serve all tribal people. United Indian Health Services serve all tribal people. And the tribes actually will serve people that aren't members of their tribe but are members of other tribes.
Also, doesn't have to be a local tribe even?
It depends on where the funding comes from. So each service is kind of dependent on those, you know how it goes.
Nothing clean. Okay.
No, but that's what I'm here for, is to try to help navigate that and get services for people and help them, find the resources that are needed.
What is the biggest surprise that you each had, let's say in the first 6 weeks? I don't know if you can go back that far, but the first 6 weeks of your current assignment, you went, oh, what?
I think that no 2 days are alike ever. That I thought it would be a little bit more like...
Routine,
and it's totally not.
because the people are that different, or the circumstances, or both of those?
I think it's different... cases, different clients we're serving. I think there's a lot of different circumstances with each. So you have to kind of approach each one uniquely.
So I would imagine in a larger community, it's going to be a multiplier of that same lack of consistency.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Possibly.
Well, I mean, you know, if you only have 5 people you're dealing with, mm-hmm. One of those small little counties, probably it's going to become a little bit more routine.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than the variety that you have.
Mm-hmm.
How about for you, Holly?
I don't know if I had any surprises like that other than my lack of knowledge of terminology related to the criminal justice system. It took me a while to exactly understand what was being said in court. And I had known people that had been involved in the court system before, and they always seemed to come out of each event not knowing what happened, and I figured out why really quickly.
Jargon or nuances?
I think, both, you know. And then just the pace at which things move, just terribly slow, and can be frustrating. So I think it's a lot of that, and just... honestly, acoustics in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Or just being able to, literally being able to hear what is being said.
Yeah, hear what's being said and then understand what's being said and then what does that mean, big picture.
I would think that that would be a significant challenge for a newbie to come up to speed with that. Did you have a did each of you have mentors on staff that you could go to and say, hey, what just happened? Help me out in this situation. Have you experienced this before?
Holly was my mentor, so.
Well, of course you had it. One of the best possible, right?
Of course.
Yeah, okay. That's because she's kind of trapped in the corner here. How about for you, Holly? Did you have somebody too?
I did. We have an awesome team at Victim Witness, and they were there for us. And
it's 8:30.
Decade of Difference presents the High School Innovate Business Challenge.
I'm Genevieve Regley, encouraging you to go for it and submit an idea. I didn't know if my idea would be selected, but it was, and I learned a lot about my idea and myself. It was a great experience and helped kickstart my business while still attending Ferndale High School.
Learn more at decadeofdifference.org. Deadline to enter is February 15th. Upload your idea and compete for thousands of dollars. It's the Decade of Difference. Be a part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Caitlin and Holly from the Victim Witness Division. Are you a division or a department within the DA?
I believe we're a division. It's not often that we get called that, but the other, like, the investigators are a division, so I think we're a
division. I would vote for division.
Fluff it up a little bit there.
Division.
Oh, Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Ladies, with this called Humboldt County, this geographic area that we are, a lot of times, you know, historically, we've heard higher level of alcoholism than in most. Well, okay, you know, blue collar, I would suspect that that's probably part of that equation, or the culture of that is there. What is the impact that you see of the drug culture? Yeah, and that, to me, is one of the things that, and I know it's more common throughout the country, you know, it's not just marijuana in Humboldt County, but with the legalization, with some of the culture, the drug culture that's been around here, do you see those ripples more regularly in your working here than, let's say, your peers in Southern California or in the Midwest that you may have interaction with?
I can't say compared to other places, but I personally see drug use as a symptom of something else, and for
a reaction too.
Yeah,
a rather reaction than a causal.
Too. And okay. Well, I think it's cyclical, so it will then be a cause. But I think for a lot of the clients that I work with, and I do co-advocate on some of Caitlin's cases that people that have been victims of crime, especially children. If they aren't able to work through and process a lot of what has happened to them, then I think there's a lot of self-medication with drugs. But then there is a lot of crime associated with drugs once those are being used. So that's kind of how I see things.
How about for you, Caitlin? What sense do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with Holly. I don't know if I have much to add.
Just intuitively, it's there, but is it more or less? It's kind of tough to determine.
Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of the crime in Humboldt County that's like directly associated with drug use are more property crimes, and we deal more with violent crime. I think that there definitely is often drugs and alcohol involved in domestic disputes. And obviously one of the crimes that we also deal with are DUI with injury or hit and run. So obviously there would be drug and alcohol use in those.
Oh yeah, the I in there kind of implies something.
Yeah. So that's a given in that one.
Is there any magical solution that's out there? I mean, a lot of times you hear, well, funding. okay, so if we had $10 billion in Humboldt County, I suspect it still wouldn't solve the problem. It may be dealing with symptoms, but it's not going to get to the root of the causes. Change in culture. Well, that's easy to say. It's probably not going to ever happen. At least not with a snap of the fingers, it's not going to happen. Okay, is that probably not going to take care of that also? Is there anything, or is it just trying to narrow the percentage day by day, year by year?
The drug use?
Just of anything that presents cases that you have to deal with.
I was going
to
say, it depends on what the problem is. So I think for each one, I know that one of the major frustrations for majority of my clients is the pace at which a case moves through the system. And for us, that's a lack of enough judges and courtrooms. So
that's kind of the bottleneck.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So to eliminate that frustration, money would help. You know, money, space, resources. I think in general, resources are another issue that are an issue for clients. Emergency shelter facilities, we lack enough of those in Humboldt County.
Like the regular shelter from the weather or shelter from attack? Yeah, women's shelter.
Women's shelters, okay. Or and also men. Or safe
houses,
havens or safe
will.
Houses. Okay. Yeah, that's always an area that is difficult for us to find resources for everyone.
How many? How big is the demand?
Well,
any idea? If you had 30 houses, would that be enough? Is it 300? Is it two?
I think we have one that's technically, I think, a safe haven here in Humboldt County, and there are other small places that can do temporary housing. And there are some resources that can put people up in hotels for maybe 3 nights, but that's not the best solution. So, I mean, I'd love 30, but I'd be happy with 10.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, or 5.
Not knowing the magnitude of it, it's kind of tough to wrap around that one.
Yeah.
How about for you?
Well, dealing with kids and their family members, I mean, I think it's kind of hard to.
Would it be money? I mean, parallel stuff, or is
I mean, money could always
difference.
Help. I mean,
I've heard counseling. But one of the big challenges.
That is, it's like a big challenge, especially in Humboldt County, is a lack of providers that are taking new clients, especially with the mental health crisis that our county is in, and so. I think for kids, also, alternative therapy options.
What does that mean? You're starting to slip into jargon on that one.
Like, there's Wild Souls Ranch that does equine therapy, so things kind of along those lines.
Kind of get them out and move them around and,
mm-hmm.
you know, being regular kids kind of thing?
Yeah. Okay. So different therapies like that, I think, would be helpful.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey Humboldt County, the folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The Los Angeles flight is a great success. Did you hear? Starting May 29th, we'll have a second departure to Los Angeles. It makes it even easier to visit sunny SoCal. What's more, we'll have flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a few hours away from the Mile High City or wherever you want to go. This will make connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Caitlin and Holly from Humboldt County Victim Witness Program. Ladies, if folks want to help out, you know, you're the trained professionals here. I'm not even trained. What are some of the things that you're looking for? We talked about, you know, if there was one thing that could help, what would it be? Well, okay, so we don't have $10 billion sitting around. So are there other things that the community can do to help out the programs? If folks are interested?
So through the month of April, it's going to be National Crime Victims Rights Week, which is April 7th through 13th. And so in honor of that, we are doing two different drives. One of them is going to be donated to CAS, which is this child abuse services team. And that is a teddy bear drive. So all new or gently used stuffed animals would be appreciated. And the donation and collection bins will be at Ferndale High School. And so all teddy bears from this will be donated to Humboldt County Child Abuse Services team.
Big ones, small ones, red ones, green ones? I mean, does it matter? Anything in between. Or just any stuffed animal kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, so that's...
Just to Ferndale High, or is there another...
Or you can bring them by our office, which is 712 4th Street in Eureka.
4th Street, okay. Which part?
Right next to Scrapper's Edge.
Thank you very much. Oh, the old bowling alley.
Yes.
Okay.
So I've heard.
Sorry. Oh, I'm going to pull the... I'm so young, I don't know the card. Okay, fine. Holly, talk to me.
Okay, I'll save you. Another one of the drives that we're doing in the same donation areas, so that's Ferndale High and or Victim Witness Office, is a USA drive, which is underwear, socks, and accessories. And gave me the one I can't say. And so we're taking donations. We use those donations for families and clients who are without, obviously, underwear, socks, and accessories, and people that have had to leave their homes unexpectedly. And both of those drives are being put on by Lexi Miranda. She's a student at Ferndale High, and she's also one of the volunteers for one of our programs at Victim Witness.
I would suppose if folks can't do it right now, like if they're waiting for a tax return or something, you'd probably be able to take it later on in the year, too.
Sure. We'll take it anytime.
At the old bowling alley. Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.